We wanted just to spend a few moments on this passage from John's Gospel. And it is a passage which fits well with the time of year that we find ourselves in. Indeed, not just simply the time of year in sort of church terms, but the time of year in terms of national and political terms. Because this passage is a passage that speaks about an approaching day. Now, we have an approaching day on Thursday that has the capacity to capture our minds and our conversations, I imagine, over these last days and will do over the coming days. And much energy and breath will be spilt deciding which way we have to vote. I'm not going to offer any advice this morning. I am going to encourage you to pray about it rather more than talk about it. That will probably be more productive both for you and for the country. We ought to pray for our country. We will get the leaders we deserve, generally. We like to point the finger at others rather than ourselves. We need to pray for God's mercy that we get leaders that we don't deserve, that will be good for us. So do be praying over these coming days. But it wasn't that approaching day that this passage was written for. This passage was written before here because Jesus in verse 20, if you've got your Bibles open on page 1080, has a conversation with some Greeks who come up to worship at the festival. They come to Philip and they say, "Sir, we'd like to see Jesus." And Jesus, rather than sort of just tell him, "Well, here I am, what do you want to ask?" Declares something that the gospel has been waiting for all along. He says there in verse 23, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." And he speaks about a grain of wheat falling and dying. He talks about people who love their life losing them, those who hating their life keeping it. He talks about the one who will lay down his life and who will be lifted up. Verse 32, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." And he said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. And the crowd speak up at that point in verse 34. "Look, we've heard all about the Messiah from the law, and the law says he's going to remain forever. So how can you be talking about him going and dying and leaving? Who is this Son of Man that you're speaking about?" And that is when Jesus starts to say what we have read in our passage this morning. In other words, Jesus has spoken about an approaching day that is at one level the highlight of all that he has come to earth to be and to do. And because they can't understand it, and because they can't work out the implications of that coming day and what he's saying, he explains to them here in verse 35 onwards what they need to know and what they need to do. There is an approaching day, says Jesus. In fact, there's more than one approaching day. He talks about the day here when he will die, the day when he will leave his disciples, and he speaks too about a day that is yet to come. A day that we look forward to in Advent. And he makes just a few points along the way that I think are really helpful for us this morning. Here's the first one. Time is limited. Time is limited. Jesus told them, "You're going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you." Look, whoever walks in the dark doesn't know where they're going. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light. And when he'd said that, Jesus left and hid himself from them. Time is limited. We tend not to think that, do we? We tend to think we've got all the time in the world, and particularly when it comes to putting ourselves right with God, we think we have eternity. Or at least the way we act implies that we think we have eternity. In other words, we're always very good at putting off those things to do with our relationship with God to another day, because we always think there is another day. One of the things we've been reminded of throughout Advent is that Jesus speaks about a day that is coming when he will come like a thief in the night. In other words, there won't be time forever to consider all his claims and all his calls. And that's what he says to them here, isn't it? "I'm with you for a while until I die. You're going to have the light just a little while longer, and walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you." In other words, use the time wisely. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light. See, that's what Jesus has been saying right through the gospel. He wants people to be part of the new kingdom that he's inaugurating.
to be part of the family of God that he is leading. He wants them to become children of light, and he says you need to make a choice about doing that. But time is limited. Now, I guess we sort of don't get the same sort of thing about that. Like if we had candles and we spent the evenings reading by candlelight, we'd understand the concept of time running out, wouldn't we? Because the candle goes down and you've got enough time before the candle runs out. I mean, you may remember when you were younger, perhaps reading a book under the covers in bed and the light fading as the batteries fail. But batteries are so much better nowadays, and LED lights go on forever, so you don't have that challenge of the light running out. But it may be better for us to think of, perhaps not the light running out, but what happens when the internet runs out? You see, we think the internet is on all the time. And we rely on it so much, don't we? Most of us would have to change the way we ran our week if there was no internet this coming week. Some of us might be delighted there'll be no internet this coming week, but we would have to change our week, but we tend to think it's going to be always on. And we know, especially if it's Christmas, and we've got a whole range of things we're going to order online for Christmas and all the things we've got to do, if the internet was to go down, if that light was to turn off, it would change things radically. If you knew there was going to be no internet for the next 2.5 weeks after tonight, there would be quite a lot of people spending quite a lot of time on the internet making sure all the things they've got to get done will be done. We understand that, don't we? Because we know what happens when we can't get access to the internet, because we depend on it so much. It's almost that the internet is a better image for us than light, because light is just so ubiquitous for us, and there are so many ways of creating it, we really don't have to deal without it very often. But we do understand what happens when our internet connection goes down, and we can't work, and we can't communicate, and we can't get access to product details, and we can't sell anything if we're in... Well, Jesus is saying, look, time is running out. There will be a time when the light turns off, when all that frustration that you wish you'd done it earlier will happen. But this time it will happen between you and your relationship with God. Time is limited. Take it seriously, says Jesus. Time is limited. Look who Sexton says next. It's this, it's heart to heart. Look at verse 37 to 41. He makes this claim to them, that, you know, walk with the light, you know, believe in the light, become children of God. But even after Jesus had performed so many signs in their presence, they still wouldn't believe him. It wasn't as if he hadn't given them plenty of evidence to believe in who he was. They just didn't want to believe in who he was. And that was to fulfill, we're told, the word of Isaiah the prophet, Lord, who's believed our message, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? That's Isaiah 53. For this reason they couldn't believe, because as Isaiah says elsewhere, Isaiah 40, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, so they can neither see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. It's an intriguing little passage, that, isn't it? You wonder, what on earth is John trying to tell us? Well, he's telling us, it isn't simply a matter of just obvious evidence that Jesus puts in front of people that if it's there, of course I'll believe in it, and if it's not, well, I won't. The problem is the human heart, not the human intellect. And the human heart here is confirmed as a heart that has rejected God, and is confirmed as a heart that if it continues to ask to reject God, God will allow it to do that. And as he's done here back in Isaiah, he has put a judgment on the people of God because of their unwillingness to listen, saying, well, in a way, you've had your chance. And that judgment is only lifted when Jesus comes. Isaiah speaks about a day when Jesus would arrive, when suddenly people might be able to see and turn and be healed. But up until that point, people have been hardened. And we see that in the people of Israel around Jesus here. Some are still hard because they've rejected God. And that rejection has led to a hardening of heart. And so no matter what Jesus does in front of them, they won't believe. Time is limited, hearts are hard. And of course that can be true of our hearts, can't it? People like to think that, you know, I can reject God for so long and then I can just turn to God at the last minute and it will be easy. Well, the pattern here is that actually the better I get at rejecting God, the harder my heart becomes, and the more difficult I will find to turn back to God. Actually, it is a work of God to turn me back to Him. And if I am busy rejecting Him, there won't be just that moment where I can turn back to Him. Time is limited, hearts are hard, and the pressure is on. Have a look at verse 42 to 43. Yet at the same time, many, even among the leaders, believed in Him. That's helpful, isn't it? Because we get a bit depressed and say, well, if God's hardened everybody's hearts, there's no point even thinking about this, because I can't do anything about it. Well, I'm afraid that doesn't work as an excuse. God does harden hearts, but people still do believe. He does turn people back to Him. But notice what's going on here. Yet at the same time, many, even among the leaders, believed in Him. There are people who sort of say, yeah, Jesus, I think there is something there. But because of the Pharisees, they wouldn't openly acknowledge their faith for fear they'd be put out of the synagogue. But there are huge pressures on us if we want to acknowledge the one who is the light of the world, because the world around us doesn't like us acknowledging the one who is the light of the world. So time is limited, said Jesus, to recognise me as the light and to follow me as the light, and I'd long for you to be children of the light. But hearts are hard, and people get good at saying no to me. But despite that, there are some who will see in me the truth of who I am, but recognise the pressure to acknowledge Jesus as the light is, well, it's great, isn't it, to say no. Because it means standing up and being counted, it means being identified as one who follows the light. Well, Jesus sets the scene, doesn't he? But look what he does as he reappears in verse 44. Then Jesus cries out, whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. Look, I've come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. So here is Jesus' appeal, don't stay in darkness. It's an extraordinary thing, isn't it? Why would we choose to stay in darkness when we could have light? Why would we choose to be without the internet? Well, I can think of a few reasons, but... Well, of course, John has told us back in chapter 3, the reason we choose to stay in the darkness is because we like the darkness, because it means who we are and the way in which we desperately need God and His forgiveness is exposed. So the darkness is almost convenient and comforting because it means we don't come into the light, which shows us exactly who we are and how much we're in need of God's forgiveness and grace. But Jesus says, look, don't stay in the darkness. The light is always better. Choose, he says, light and life. That's what he's saying. He's saying, look, I've come into the world as a light, so that anyone who believes in me shouldn't stay in darkness. And he goes on to speak as he talks about he and his father and his words being the same. Look, verse 50, I know that his command, and that of course is what I've been giving you, leads to eternal life. Jesus is appealing to these people to choose light in him as the light of the world and life, because he comes with his Father's word that speaks of eternity. Very striking, isn't it? As we sit in between these 2 days that Jesus speaks about here, the day when he was to be lifted up and die on a cross that brings us forgiveness, as we've been reminded with the Christingle and will be reminded again in a moment. But also the last day that he speaks about there in verse 48. We too have this choice of whether we choose light and life or whether we choose to stay in the darkness. One day has come. Jesus has died. He has died for our sins. He's risen and he's ascended, and there is another day to come, the day when he'll return as Saviour and Judge of all the earth. As he says here, he's come the first time not to judge the world, but to save the world, to tell people about the light that is there for them, to tell them there is a limited time offer that is well worth taking, to come into the light, not stay in the darkness. And he tells them to walk with the light while it's still with them, because he's about to go to the cross. But for us who live after him, well, he would tell us to, well, believe in the light, before the light comes as the one who will be the judge. We have to think today, don't we? As we think about Advent, as we think about Jesus' first coming, as we think beyond that to his return, the second coming. We need to be ready for the day. It's what Jesus is wanting people to be here, to be ready for the day. And he says there is one very straightforward way to be ready for the day. It is to choose life and light in him. It is sometimes uncomfortable, isn't it, to be reminded of these 2 days so clearly, because we do like to live without thinking about them. We like to live without remembering the cross, because that reminds us that we are sinners and we're the ones who need forgiving. It's just much more convenient to think of ourselves as nice and in no need of that. And we like to live without thinking about the last day, because that means we can put off any decisions for as long as we like. But Jesus, and indeed the New Testament writers, are always bringing those 2 days into very clear view and focus for us, because they are the days that make the difference. To know that Jesus came because we're sinners, because we're in darkness and we need the light. And because he will come again as judge. And time is limited, and hearts are hard, and the pressure is on, but don't stay in the darkness. Choose light and love. Now, maybe that's something you need to do personally today. You know that you've hung around, perhaps you might not think in the darkness, but certainly in the shadows, and you know you need to come into the light. Well, come and speak to me. Maybe you're in the light, you know you are. You've put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the challenge of these days is to make sure we present this appeal to others, that they don't stay in the darkness. That we bring before people those 2 days, the day when Jesus died, and also the day when he will return, so that they too might be ready for the day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you that he was uncompromising in his clarity about the choices that we need to make about him. Thank you that he's uncompromising in saying that his words are the words that will count for eternity, are the words that we accept and trust and believe in and find life, or words that we reject that will be the words that accuse us at the last day. And so we pray that you might help us to be wise today. Wise in our own personal decision about Jesus' appeal to come into the light, but wise about how we present that to others. Help us in that, we pray, for Jesus' sake.